Chapter 11. Lucius watched Fulgrim and Julius Caesaron draw near the end of the gallery. His breath was coming in short spikes, and he fought to keep his excitement from getting the better of his caution. As thrillingly treasonous as this was, he wanted to live to see another day. Attacking a Primarch was perhaps a foolish way to go about that, but his heightened senses were alive with the rush of sensation flooding him. The stone beneath his bare palm was a smorgasbord of textures, rough, smooth, indented, and imperfect in its carving. Polished, moon-blush granite, its original surface plane smooth to microscopic tolerances, then hacked apart with gleeful chisels wielded with screaming abandon. He could no longer tell which of the Legion's heroes he sheltered behind, and that lacuna was like a missing tooth. Lucius fought this newly birthed obsession down and wrenched his thoughts back to the task at hand with a shuddering breath. To experience every sensation to the limits of endurance was sublime, but it had a nasty habit of diverting a warrior from his true goals. Bad enough that one warrior should be so caught up, but woe betide any world that became the target of the entire Legion's obsession. He forced his gaze back down the length of the gallery of swords, watching as Caesaron drew Fulgrim deeper into their trap. Verosian's warriors were hidden in the shadows of the mighty statues, each shrouded with a falsehood and kept silent with implanted neural shriekers that bombarded their cerebral cortex with howling discordia. When the word was given, those shriekers would go silent, depriving the implanted warriors of the blissful howling and driving them to replace it with fresh stimulus. Verosian had developed the implants on the journey from Prismatica, and much as Lucius was loath to credit such a plodder with anything of merit, he had to admit the shriekers transformed the cacophony into obsessively fanatical killers on the battlefield. Against the might of a Primarch, they would need to be. It seemed inconceivable that Fulgrim could not be aware of their presence. But as Lucius and the Legion had become so caught up in their own self-obsessions, so too had the Primarch. Where Lucius's clouds of obsession were heavy and almost impenetrable, he could only imagine what heights of narcissism a luminous being such as Fulgrim might attain. Lucius glanced to his right, seeing the shadowed opening that led down into the forsaken lair of Apothecary Fabius. He remembered descending into the dimly lit labyrinth after his defection from the fools on Istvan III, his every nerve alive with fearful anticipation. He had set foot in the Apothecarian a handful of times only, his skills so great as to rarely require medical attention. He remembered it as a sterile place of clinical antiseptic chill, but it had become a gallery of grotesqueries, its walls spattered with rust-coloured stains and hung with biological trophies, mutant curios and bubbling tanks of noxious fluids. The stink had been incredible, but once Fabius had opened him up and remade him in the Primarch's image, it had become a place of wonders to him. As much as he revelled in the glorious worlds opened up to him by Fabius, he could never bring himself to like him. He supposed such things were immaterial now. He heard Fulgrim ask a question, but the words were lost to him, and he swore silently as he realised he had been distracted once more. Taking a grip on himself, Lucius narrowed his concentration to a sharp blade of focus. Fulgrim was almost upon him, and as architect of this plan, it fell to Lucius to make the first move. Lucius stepped from the shadows, and the fractional space that separated life and death grew ever thinner. His senses surged with the vividness of this moment, the thrilling anticipation of what he was doing, the sheer madness of it, and the irreversible nature of this act.
"Lucius," said Fulgrim with an amused smile.
"What are you doing here?"
"I have come to speak to you."
"No, my lord, Lucius.
Have you forgotten to whom you speak?"
"I don't know who I'm speaking to,"
said Lucius, staring into the hard, opaque orbs of Fulgrim's eyes. He saw no pity, no humanity, and nothing that spoke to him of the lord and master he had loved and served with all his heart. He wondered if that was true, or if he was just remembering a past that didn't exist, a fictive history invented to justify this moment.
"I am Fulgrim, master of the Emperor's children," said Fulgrim, glancing about himself as though stretching his senses out and gradually becoming aware of the noose into which he had just placed his neck. "And you will obey me?"
Lucius shook his head and rested his palm on the pommel of his sword. He wasn't surprised to realize it was slick with sweat.
"I don't know what you are, but you are not Fulgrim," said Lucius,
and the Primarch laughed. It was a good laugh, infectious and rich with deep amusement. It was the laugh of a man who knows the joke he is hearing should be appreciated on a level beyond that which everyone else around him understands. Fulgrim grinned, his dark eyes alight with perverse pleasure at the situation.
"You think you can take me, swordsman? Is that it?"
asked Fulgrim.
"I see how you look at me. The obsessive study and drive to prove yourself better than everyone else. You think I don't see how you wish you could pit your blade against mine?"
Lucius hid his surprise. He had assumed Fulgrim to be too self-absorbed to notice his calculating scrutiny, but he should have understood that true self-obsession could only be fed by the attentions of others. Fulgrim would have basked in Lucius's study, and who knew what else he had done? Had his every movement been a pantomime to lull Lucius into assuming superiority, or was this just a calculated bluff?
"I have watched you ever since Istvan V, and you are not the same warrior I followed into battle on Laren. The Fulgrim I followed onto the surface of that Eldar world is not the same one looking at me and daring me to come at him. You are an impostor with my master's face, and I will take no orders from a usurper."
Fulgrim laughed once more, squatting down on his haunches as the hilarity of Lucius's words threatened to overcome him. Lucius scowled in petulant irritation. What had he said that was so funny? He glanced at Caeseron, but it was impossible to read the first captain's expression.
"Oh, ho, 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 ho! Oh, you are a rare and precious treasure, Lucius," roared Fulgrim. "Don't you see? We all take our orders from a usurper. Horus Lupercal has not yet earned the title of emperor. Until then, what else is he but a usurper?"
"That's not the same,"
said Lucius, feeling his moral high ground in this confrontation eroding beneath him.
"Horus Lupercal is the War Master, but you are not Fulgrim. I see his face, but something else lurks behind it, something spawned by the same powers that granted us the power to fully experience the wonders this galaxy has to offer."
Fulgrim rose to his full height and said,
"If that were the case, swordsman, should you not then prostrate yourself before me and beg me to open your eyes to fresh wonders? If I am an avatar of the Warp's Dark Prince, clothed in the flesh of your beloved Primarch, am I not doing a better job than he did in showing you how best to sate your hungers and desires?"
Shapes moved in the shadows between the alcoves of statues, and Lucius saw Helaton and Abranx emerge from the opposite sides of the marble statue of Lord Commander Peleon. Marius Verusian marched along the grand processional with his long-necked cannon slung at his side, its dissonance coils thrumming with potential. His cacophony emerged from their hiding places, eyes wide with madness and the need to be driven into sonic ecstasy. Apothecary Fabius stepped from the arched entrance to his subterranean kingdom, flanked by Calimos, Daemon, Ruin, and Chrysander. Fulgrim turned in a slow circle, taking in the measure of the warriors arrayed against him. Lucius counted perhaps 50 warriors, and wished he had 50 more, and then 100 more beyond that. The captains of the Legion encircled Fulgrim, each with their weapon unsheathed and with murder in their hearts.
Lucius drew his blade and rolled his shoulders to loosen the muscles. They had not come to kill Fulgrim, if such a thing was even possible for mortals. But this rapidly unfolding drama had all the hallmarks of a situation spiralling out of control.
Alas! I am betrayed by those I hold most dear, said Fulgrim, clutching his hands to his breast as though his heart was broken. You all countenance these lies? Can you all truthfully believe I am not your beloved Genesire, who brought us all back from the brink of extinction, and who led us to truths denied us by our once father?
Fulgrim's face crumpled, and Lucius was not a little unsettled to see a single tear work its way down the marbled flawlessness of the Primarch's face. The Primarch turned to Julius Caeseron with a hurt look of betrayal in his eyes.
Even you, Julius, said the Phoenician. Then fall, Fulgrim! Take him!
Bellowed Julius Caeseron, and the captains of the Legion stepped away from Fulgrim as Marius Verusian unleashed a barrage of shrieking reverberations from his cannon. Statues split under the sonic assault, and Lucius felt a delicious frisson throughout his body as the aural blast wave threw him to the flagstones of the gallery. Fulgrim staggered under the impact, his robes ripped from his body with the tearing power of the shockwave. He dropped to one knee, his wreath of golden laurels shattering into thousands of fragments. Beneath his robes, Fulgrim was naked, but for a crimson loincloth, and Lucius marvelled at the almost serpentine fluidity of his body. Damon leapt towards the downed Primarch with his grotesque maul, swinging down like an executioner's axe. Fulgrim swayed aside from the blow, letting the barbed head of the weapon bury itself in the stone decking. Splinters exploded from the impact, and before Damon could retrieve his maul, Fulgrim stepped in and drove the heel of his palm into the captain's face. Damon had no time to scream before his face was smashed hollow. Even as the warrior fell, Fulgrim swept up the maul in his right fist as Ruin darted forwards and rammed his envenomed blade to the hilt into Fulgrim's side. The haft of the maul slammed down into Ruin's elbow, shattering the bones of his upper and lower arm. The captain's howl of pain was music to Lucius's ears as Fulgrim tore the absurdly small blade from his body. Fulgrim kicked Ruin away, sending him spinning across the gallery to slam into a statue with a crack of shattering plate and breaking bone. Lucius circled Fulgrim, not yet willing to commit to the fight. His blade tingled in his grip, eager to taste such rarefied blood, and hungry to draw him into the dance of swords. "Not yet, my beauty," he whispered. "Not when there are others to suffer the worst of the Primarch's ire and strength." If Ruin's toxins were having any effect on Fulgrim, Lucius couldn't say, but it appeared that the captain of the 21st had been premature in his boasts that his banes could fell any living foe. The cacophony unleashed a roaring series of blasts from their sonic weapons, filling the gallery of swords with clashing echoes and reverberating harmonies that drew blood from the ears of all that heard them. Fulgrim shrieked in pleasure as the sound vibrated his flesh and bones with a ferocity that should have killed him thrice over. Heliton stepped in and drove the spiked fist of his cestus gauntlet into Fulgrim's lower back, a blow that would have shattered the spine of even an armoured Adeptus Astartes. The Primarch took the blow and spun on his heel. A jabbing elbow put Heliton on his back, his lower jaw hanging by a thread of glistening sinew and pulped bone. Abranx screamed to see his boon companion laid low and swept his twin swords for Fulgrim's neck. The Primarch deflected one sword with the head of Damon's maul, as Abranx spun inside the weapon's reach to slide his second blade across Fulgrim's throat. Blood cascaded down Fulgrim's throat, and his eyes widened with genuine surprise. Lucius felt a fleeting moment of bitter disappointment and venomous jealousy at the thought of a merely competent swordsman like Abranx landing such a blow. But no sooner had the blood begun to flow than it stopped, and Fulgrim took hold of Abranx by the neck and hurled him away.
"A good move, Abranx," said Fulgrim with a rasp of gratification. I will remember it.
Kalimos cracked his lash, its toothed length wrapping around Fulgrim's left arm. The Carnadon teeth tore into his flesh, and squirts of blood sprayed from the wounds. As Kalimos hauled on his lash, Julius Caeseron stepped in and delivered a thunderous left hook with his crackling fist. Augmented with strength enough to tear apart a battle tank, Caeseron's blow drove Fulgrim to his knees. But before he could strike again, Kalimos jerked on his lash as Chrysander plunged his dagger between the Primarch's shoulder blades. Fulgrim closed his fist on the gnawing lash and gave what appeared to be no more than a gentle tug. Kalimos was plucked from his feet and spun around the Primarch, slamming into Chrysander and sending the pair of them crashing to the ends of the gallery. Caeseron swung again, but Fulgrim was ready for him, blocking the blow with Daemon's maul and thundering a naked fist into his face. Caeseron dropped with a grunt, but Fulgrim made no move to finish him.
"Now, Lucius, strike!"
shouted Fabius, and the swordsman cursed the apothecary as Fulgrim spun to face him. The Primarch dropped the maul and drew the glitter-sheened blade Horus Lupercal had gifted him aboard the Vengeful Spirit.
"Now we come to it, swordsman," grinned Fulgrim, swaying on his feet.
Lucius saw the pale complexion of his Primarch was ashen and spat to the deck.
"This would be no contest worth making," he said. "Ruin's venom and your wounds render it meaningless."
Fulgrim spread wide his arms and took stock of the blood dripping from his body.
"This," he said, "this is nothing. Come at me with the blade I gave you, and we will settle this question once and for all, yes?"
Lucius cocked his head to one side, meeting the Primarch's maddened gaze, and seeing a truth he knew was as unshakable as it was inevitable. Even in his wounded state, Fulgrim would kill him. And Lucius wasn't ready to die. Not for this. Before he could consider the matter further, Julius Caeseron rose up behind Fulgrim and slammed his energized fist down on Fulgrim's skull. A blow that should have pulped its victim's head to a smeared red ruin merely drove Fulgrim to the ground. The Phoenician shook his head, and his bloody rictus grin put Lucius in mind of the deathly iconography he had seen carved into Istvan V's ruins. As Fulgrim sought to push himself to his feet, Marius Verusian jammed the end of his sonic cannon into Fulgrim's neck and unleashed a barrage of squalling harmonics that filled the gallery with ear-bleeding noise. Lucius cried out in pain, and Fulgrim's eyes rolled back in their sockets as he let out a groan of what sounded very much like delirious pleasure. The sword fell from the Primarch's hand, and he toppled to the cracked flagstones with a heavy thump. Lucius looked up, blinking away bright spots of light from his vision and hearing what sounded like a million bells clanging at once. He stood a few meters from Verusian, so he couldn't begin to imagine the effect the blast must have had on Fulgrim. The surviving captains picked themselves up from the ground and formed a ring of dazed warriors around the fallen god. It had been a battle like no other, the warriors of a legion turning on their own Primarch, and the enormity of what they had done was not lost on them. Lucius did not know what to feel. He had been cheated of his duel with Fulgrim, a duel he felt in his bones he would have lost. But some secret instinct told him that he would yet get his chance to test his blade against the Primarch's alien weapon, and yet live to speak of it. Lucius turned his gaze upon his fellow captains. None marked his stare, for they could not tear their eyes from the downed Primarch. Kalimos bled from numerous cracks in his armour, and Chrysander's breastplate was dented so deeply that the bone shield of his chest must surely be in fragments. Abranx knelt by Helaton, holding the hanging fragments of his brother's lower jaw in his hands. Verusian's howling mouth was spread even wider in a hissing grimace of triumph, and Julius Caeseron stared at his fist as though unable to believe he had raised it in anger against Fulgrim. None spoke. None knew what to say. They had taken arms against their Primarch, and they had enjoyed it. Apothecary Fabius broke the spell of their silence.
"Fools!"
hissed the lifeless voice of the apothecary.
"You will stand gaping like landed fish until he awoke."
Fabius turned away and made his way to the arched entrance to his necropolis of freakish surgeries. As he reached the edge of shadow, he turned back to the Legion captains.
"Bring him below," said Fabius. "We have much to do."
"What exactly are you going to do, apothecary?"
demanded Caseron.
"I am going to exorcise the creature that has stolen the Primarch's flesh."
"How?" asked Lucius.
"By any means necessary," said Fabius, with an odious grin.